Conservative. Constitutional. It's the Andrew Cooper Writer Show, keeping you informed on what's going on right here in Kentucky.
Today on the Andrew Cooper Writer Show, the Kentucky Chamber of Commerce has put out its list of endorsements. I'll go over exactly why anybody that the Kentucky Chamber of Commerce endorses, you should be pretty careful when it comes to voting, too. You should definitely take a second look at, double-check some things. I'll go over why and go over what the interests are of the Chamber of Commerce exactly here in Kentucky and why it's an enemy to those who have conservative and free market values. Also, I'll go over how Daniel Cameron has started a new PAC, clearly indicating that he is not done with politics in Kentucky, forming a PAC that he says will help those within the state. Will go through that story from the Herald Leader. So we'll have all that and more today. I hope everybody has just a fantastic Friday. And of course, a great weekend as we're coming up on it. As always, if you want to reach out to the show, head on over to theandrewshow.com. Once again, that's theandrewshow.com. You can hit the contact tab there. You can also email info@theandrewshow.com. Once again, that's info@theandrewshow.com to reach out to the show, question, comments, or concerns. But before I go into the two stories I listed at the beginning, I do want to give an update on something I spoke about at length yesterday, and that was Senate Bill 191. Those of you who listen to today's shows know that Senate Bill 191 is a college funding bill that dealt mainly with funding for non-traditional school age, college age students, so, you know, senior citizens, older people going to college and their funding schemes. But the bill was amended in the last 2 days to include a rider saying that you could not hand out money exclusively based upon race-based targets. Those of you who listened yesterday know that I went over an opinion from the Attorney General's office stating that the College of Post-Secondary Education here in Kentucky, CPE, has been promulgating a rule, a regulation that states that colleges, to get a large chunk of their funding, needed to hit certain racial quotas and defined a underrepresented minority as exclusively by the skin color. And so therefore that was creating not just something that's morally wrong and racist, but also something that's unconstitutionally wrong practice within our government of tying funding to whether or not you have enough minorities going to your college, basically tying funding to whether or not you don't have too many whiteys going to your school. Absolutely atrocious. And I dug into that pretty in depth, and I talked about how Senate Bill 191 was changed in the final days, and it'd be interesting to see if Beshear actually signed the bill, because if he didn't sign the bill, it would shape up to be a showdown between the Kentucky Attorney General, Russell Coleman, and Beshear over the racist practices of the CPE. But Beshear signed Senate Bill, House Bill 191, which means that that possible showdown is gone. And you may be wondering, why would Beshear sign House Bill 191, a bill that would stop some of the DEI practices going on to the CPE? And for which I say it's the same reason that in 2022, the fight over CRT kind of died out. Critical race theory, for those of you who don't remember CRT, critical race theory, kind of died out and ended up getting rebranded as DEI. Because with House Bill 191 passing, with the rider saying you cannot do race-based funding for colleges, well, this means that a lot of the wind out of the sails for the future of DEI is out. Because if you remember, Senate Bill 6 did a lot more than just say you cannot consider race for entrance, because it also dealt with defunding the DEI, Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion offices, and it also dealt with not allowing colleges to mandate the teaching of these DEI principles, which, for those of you who are unaware what DEI principles are, it's basically the idea that if the racial makeup and gender makeup and everything is not perfectly there, then something must be racist, something must be awful. And that the system as a whole is against minorities. And for that reason, minorities, if you want to attract them in, if you want to hire them, retain them, bring them into your colleges and universities, you have to create a different standard for those minorities than you give to white people, which is racist. And no, it's a bigotry of low expectations, because you're telling minorities they can't be held to the same standards as white people. And at the same time, you're classifying people, you're tying their ability to perform and where they are in life to their skin color, when it has a lot more to do with factors, not the color they're born with, but a lot of other factors, socioeconomical factors, that deals and is separate from an individual's skin hue. And so Senate Bill 6 took aim at dealing with all that. You can't teach these divisive concepts and mandate them. There has to be free and open debate. You can't have viewpoint discrimination on the political side of things. I mean, Senate Bill 6 would have done a lot to ensure that our colleges and universities are a free exchange of ideas, and that includes a free exchange of conservative ideas. But Senate Bill 191 passing, it really takes the wind out of the sails, because the constitutional need for a bill like Senate Bill 6 in our colleges and universities is gone. So it leaves us with the question, will this fight next session in 2025, will that fight continue? Will we have another DEI bill that gets some momentum in the 2025 session? And if I'm a betting man, I would say absolutely not. Why? Because this is how it works. All the representatives, all the Republican representatives will come back to their districts and tell their constituents that they ended race-based admission practices in colleges, and they will claim it as a victory. And I mean, they kind of have to, because what's their other option? They come back and say, we failed completely as a legislature. I didn't deliver on something that is of great concern to the base of the Republican Party. No, of course not. Instead, they're going to claim we did something. It's not even a half measure. All it does is literally, it doesn't defund the DEI offices. So these ideologies that we disagree with, it's not just the race-based admission practices we have a problem with. We have a problem with the fact that tens of millions of our tax dollars are being taken from us by force. Once again, if you don't think your tax dollars are being taken from you by force, try not paying them. See what happens. So tens of millions of our tax dollars are being taken from us by force and then being used to fund these ideologies that are clearly political, that we, as individuals who are conservatives, who are Republican, disagree with, while at the same time, that funding and that usage is shifting our culture and making it to where it's shutting down discussion on colleges and universities. So they're stealing money. So we are a largely red state. So they're taking money out of the pocket of largely red voters and then spending it to push leftist ideas and shutting down free and open exchange and debate and shutting down the allowance of the conservative ideas that the majority of the state who's funding these universities believes in. And so that is the bigger concern here. But the representatives will come back. They'll say, we did something. We did something. We voted. We ended race-based admission practices in our colleges and universities. Vote for me. Clap for me. Love me. I did something so conservative that Beshear didn't even veto it. And then the bill now that I'm sure will be proposed, will still be proposed next year, to defund these DEI offices and ban the DEI teachings from being mandatory, will fail again. Will not see the light of day. It won't see another hearing. It won't be shown anything. And this is why half measures truly suck. Or in this case, basically no measures. And this isn't the first time we've seen this in our legislature either. In fact, we're almost repeating exactly what happened with critical race theory, CRT, in 2022. Some of you may not remember that term, critical race theory, CRT, from 2022, but it is basically DEI rebranded. And if you may remember, there's a big fight and supposedly a bill passed at the time to fight CRT in our K-12 education, but somehow these concepts that are almost exactly the same DEI, we'll go over that here in a bit, continue in our K-12 education. So what happened around CRT that leads to the DEI issues we have today? We'll have that after this short break. You listen to The Andrew Cooperator Show, your source for Kentucky politics. And you're back with The Andrew Cooperator Show. For the break, we're talking about House Bill 191, which Beshear has signed, which means it goes into law, and how this truly sucks for the future of our fight against the DEI initiatives that tens of millions of our tax dollars are funding. House Bill 191 was changed in the last 2 days to include a rider saying that school funding, colleges, and university funding cannot be tied to race-based admission practices, just surely race-based quotas, which is what the Council on Post-Secondary Education was doing prior to this. And so it ends that practice, and that will take the wind out of the sails into the future. I was going over why Beshear would sign this and how this affects us and how this will play out. And we don't need to guess as much about how it'll play out because we have seen this before, almost on the exact same issue. So rewind with me to 2022, when CRT was the buzzword at the time, critical race theory. And Representative Matt Lockett, and this started growing in our colleges and universities, and then it seeped into our K through 12 education, and people started realizing that there was these awful critical race theory practices going on. And people start calling them out because they're you're literally treating young students different based upon their skin color. And you're also indicating, not only you're indicating several things with critical race theory DEI ideas, you're telling young kids that, one, they're inherently racist if they're white. They were born racist. They are racist. It's the original sin. You're racist. And then you're also telling the minority children that they can't be held to the same standard as white people. They need a special lower standard in order to be on the same playing field. And that gives a vibe of white supremacy that is wrong and inaccurate. We should be teaching our kids moving forward to not judge people based on their skin color, but instead to treat everybody the same, regardless of what kind of hue and skin pigment they have. But that's not what critical race theory was teaching. And so Representative Matt Lockett proposed House Bill 18, which was originally Bill Request 69. And those of you who can remember to 2022 and 2021, the summer between, critical race theory even had hearings in the interim. This Bill Request 69 had hearings in the interim, and it was the preeminent. It was the bill to take care of critical race theory, to ban it from being used in our public schools. And it was a hot issue. I mean, the legislature was feeling the pressure. They had to do something. Legislatures all over the country had to do something on this issue. So I want to go back and cover that bill, House Bill 18 from 2022. And I want to read what's in it because I think it is extremely important to what we're dealing with today. Okay, so this is House Bill 18. I'm just going to read one part of this right here from 2022, House Bill 18. Notwithstanding KRS 158.200 to 158.260 and 160.345, consistent with the Constitution of the United States of America and the Commonwealth of Kentucky, a local board of education or board of a public charter school shall ensure that no public or public charter school offers any classroom instruction or discussion, formal or informal, or distributes any printed or digital material, including but not limited to textbooks and instructional materials, that promotes any of the following concepts: that one race, sex, or religion is inherently superior to another race, sex, or religion, that an individual, by virtue of his race, sex, or religion, is inherently racist, sexist, or oppressive, whether consciously or unconsciously, that an individual should be discriminated against or receive adverse treatment solely or partly because of his or her race, sex, or religion, that members of one race, sex, or religion cannot and should not attempt to treat others without respect to race, sex, or religion. An individual's moral character is determined by his or her race or sex. An individual, by virtue of his or her race, sex, or religion, bears responsibility for actions committed in the past by other members of the same race, sex, or religion. Any individual should feel discomfort, guilt, or anguish, or any other form of psychological distress on account of his race, sex, or religion, or that meritocracy or traits such as hard work, ethics, and other positive views, so hard work ethics, are racist, sexist, or oppressive, or are created by members of a particular race or religion to oppress members of another race or religion. So I'm reading directly from House Bill 18 in 2022. That's what it defined CRT as. That's what it was fighting. It was fighting an idea that one race, so just to sum it up here, that one race, sex, or religion is superior to another race, sex, or religion. Can't teach that. You can't teach that a person is consciously or unconsciously racist, sexist, or oppressive simply because of their race, sex, or religion. You can't teach people to discriminate against each other based on their race, sex, or religion. You can't teach them they should treat others without respect. You can't teach them that because they are a certain race, sex, or religion, they bear some sort of responsibility for actions committed by the past. All these things are what the bill was saying you can't teach in K through 12 education. Now, I want to go over to Senate Bill 6, which this is now the College and University DEI Bill, and describe what it calls a discriminatory concept, which is the concepts that under this DEI Bill was saying that colleges and universities could not mandate to be taught. And if they taught anything like this, then it had to be up for discussion. You could not teach this as fact. Okay, and this is what it says. This is now from Senate Bill 6, 2024. Discriminatory concept means a concept that one race or sex is inherently superior or inferior to another race or sex. An individual, by the virtue of the individual's race or sex, is inherently privileged, racist, sexist, or oppressive, whether consciously or subconsciously. An individual should be discriminated against or receive adverse treatment because of the individual's race or sex. An individual's moral character is determined by the individual's race or sex. An individual, by virtue of the individual's race or sex, bears responsibility for actions committed in the past by other members of the same race or sex. An individual should feel discomfort, guilt, anguish, or another form of psychological distress solely because of the individual's race or sex. A meritocracy is inherently racist or sexist or designed by a particular race or sex to oppress another race or sex. The Commonwealth of Kentucky or the United States of America is fundamentally, irredeemably racist or sexist, promotes or advocates the violent overthrow of the United States government. So I just went through those two bills. 2 years apart, these bills are. One from 2022, one from 2024. One dealing with CRT, critical race theory, one dealing with DEI. They are exactly the same thing. As defined by these laws, they're dealing with the same issue. Now remember, from 2022, the legislature, your representative, even the media. I mean, here is a CNN headline from 2022. Kentucky governor vetoes bill incorporating anti-critical race theory, calling it a step backwards. Everybody told you they dealt with CRT. Everybody told you. But yet, CRT, as defined within these bills, still exists. Because if you read that description of CRT in 2022, that is exactly what DEI is, and that's exactly what they're fighting. And if we really banned it, CRT, in 2022 in our K through 12 schools, then why this year in our Senate was a bill proposed taking aim at DEI initiatives within our K through 12 schools? Because what did the legislature do in 2022? Nothing. They did nothing. And everybody colluded to sell you on the idea that they did it. The school systems and teacher unions asked the legislature to please not pass something strong, and the legislature complied. But because they did something that even slightly tinged of CRT, the media and the left lost their minds, and the Republican representatives were able to come back to their districts, pound their chest and say, we did something. We took aim at critical race theory, but nothing actually changed. All they did was repackage CRT as DEI and continue it in our K through 12 education. They did nothing. In fact, they did so much of nothing that the teachers union's boss up in Louisville last year wrote an op-ed where he's talking about how excited he was over the bills in 2022 and what actually passed, because it actually did nothing, but it took the wind out of the sails and it satiated the Republican desire to end critical race theory, without actually doing it. And so they were able to keep it going. So not even a half measure was passed. The media helped the Republicans claim they did something. They can't say they did nothing. And then the issue of CRT died, no longer a concern for the average citizen because they're told it was dealt with. And so they're not putting pressure on their legislature about it. And because of that failure on everyone's front, our front, the legislator's front, the media's front, everyone's failure, we now had to deal with DEI issues in Kentucky in our K-12 education because we can't hold their feet to the fire, because we were satiated with barely action at all. Because what the bill actually did, what that bill in 2022 actually did, is it just required certain documents to be taught in our K-12 education. That's all it did. But because it slightly was a little bit aimed and told that it was aimed at DEI, and Beshear vetoed it, it gave permission to claim you were doing more than you were. And I think that's what we'll deal with here. Because Beshear has even signed this. So you can't even say this is a full issue dealing with DEI, because Beshear loves DEI. He spent all session defending it. But he signed this. So it's not even a half measure. It's a tiny measure. Yet mark my words, your representatives will be on the stages at Lincoln Day dinners claiming that they ended race-based admission practices in colleges and universities, and they'll use it to muddy the waters. They'll use it, and the Republicans that voted no on Senate Bill 6, they'll use that to muddy the waters to claim they did something, and the media will run headlines that will back them up. We're going to talk more about this after this short break. You listen to The Andrew Kuber Show, your source for Kentucky politics. And you're back with The Andrew Kuber Show for the break. Digging into what's going around House Bill 191, Beshear signing it, half issues on DEI, and laying out that we know what will happen because this happened before in 2022. We took aim at critical race theory. Not even a half measure was passed. Our legislators claimed they did something. The media freaked out. It satiated the voters. So it gave permission for the legislature to not do anything else about it in 2023. Now come 2024, we're fighting on DEI, which I read the two bills for you from 2022 and the current DEI bills. Clearly, DEI is, as defined by our legislature, the exact same thing as critical race theory, essentially, the exact same thing that they're fighting. And yet, we're still fighting this in our K-12 schools, even though the claim was we dealt with CRT in 2022 because we didn't even do a half measure. And now, we have Beshear having signed House Bill 191, which ends race-based admission practices in our colleges and universities, and we know that our legislators will come back and claim that they did something on DEI, even though they did nothing, and the media will back them up. And it will lead to why nothing on this issue will continue. Because this is such an intricate issue. So for those of you that have been listening to the show, I just spent two segments, about 22 minutes, talking about this one issue, trying to explain the intricacies, trying to explain how they did something but not really, and to take aim at this. And it's taken me this long to explain it, because you need to know the ins and outs. You need to know your bill history, who the players are, what could have happened, what didn't happen. And you need to know that to be able to poke holes in some claim by some establishment hack, rhino Republican that comes along and claims they did something about DEI. They'll claim it as a victory, but they really didn't. And maybe sure, in some debate, it will come out. You know, one time I was in a debate with a candidate that I was running against. And he claimed that he voted for a bill in a committee. And so I attacked him for supporting that bill. And then he claimed that he didn't really support that bill. He just voted for it in a committee. So that doesn't mean he really supported it. And I pointed out the fact that when it's read into the record, because he tried to claim that I didn't know what was going on, because just because you vote for it in a committee doesn't mean you actually support it. And I corrected him to say the way it's read into the record, when it's read onto the floor and it passes the committee, that they are saying that they approve of the bill and it should be considered for the body for full passage. So yes, a yes vote in committee is supporting the bill based upon the official records. Maybe it means something different to you, but the official records say you're supporting it. You supported it. That took me a moment to explain. I had to poke holes in that. I was at a party meeting one time where actually Senator Meredith was being challenged on, specifically on, his support for an unconstitutional law that he sponsored. And he claimed he knew it was unconstitutional when he sponsored it, but just because he sponsored the bill doesn't mean he supports it. And that he only sponsored an unconstitutional bill because he wanted to start a conversation around the issue. That's what he literally said. And he expects people to buy that, people to sit there and lap that up. Oh, yeah. Just because he proposes a bill doesn't mean he supports it. And people believe it. And it takes other people pointing out, like, no, that's not what it means. And it takes conversation. It takes debate. So the problem becomes, how do you poke holes in these issues when most campaigns come down to 30-second ads and a front-and-back mailer? Because the average voter isn't listening to a show like this. They're not listening to me go through a 20-minute conversation on what happened with the bill, how it happened, the intricacies, the corruption, the way your votes that are supposed to represent you are being bought. They're not listening to that. Now, you could suggest it to people. So shameless plug, maybe turn to the person next to you, shoot a text to somebody. If you're listening on social media, share it. Inviting people to listen to The Andrew Show, The Andrew Cooperwriter Show. Tell them to check out theandrewshow.com and listen to this. That could help. But the average person, the vast majority of voters, aren't staying that informed. They're not putting in the kind of effort. They're reading newspapers. They may hear their legislator talk occasionally, but otherwise they're getting ads and mailers, and that's what they're voting on. And that's why these bad things keep happening. That's why nothing changes. And we have got to change the way we're voting. We have got to have people who are more informed on the intricacies of what's going on, or we continue to get not even half measures, but basically no measures, that then will be fodder for proclamations from these legislators that they've done something. Now, moving on from that issue, the Chamber of Commerce, the State Chamber of Commerce, Kentucky Chamber of Commerce, put out their list of endorsements, and I think it's a pretty handy list of who not to vote for. So how do we know we can't trust the Chamber of Commerce, right? Because it sounds great. You're like, hey, this sounds like a super great organization, Chamber of Commerce. Like, that should be who represents us as Kentuckians, right? That free market, free business, they should be pretty conservative, but they're not. First off, they claim to be nonpartisan, which if you're for free markets, then you wouldn't be nonpartisan. You have to be conservative because not all Republicans are for free markets. Don't get me wrong. They're really not. But if you're for free markets, you kind of have to be a Republican. You kind of have to be conservative. But that's not what these people are. They claim to be nonpartisan. And if anything, they're probably pretty liberal. And when you look at what they're about and how you figure out, you know, who they are and why you shouldn't trust their endorsements, I go to their website. Let's just click on their values, mission, vision, and branding statements. Here we go. Here's their vision. The Kentucky Chamber of Commerce is the major catalyst, consensus builder, and advocate for a thriving economic climate in the Commonwealth of Kentucky. Their mission: the Kentucky Chamber of Commerce supports a prosperous business climate in the Commonwealth of Kentucky and works to advance Kentucky through advocacy, information, program management, customer service in order to promote business retention and recruitment. And their values are ethical, consensus building, results oriented, entrepreneurial, flexible, deliberate, and nonpartisan. Sounds great. And then underneath on their values comes their diversity statement. Uniting businesses, advancing Kentucky. Our model will be realized with the full participation of all Kentuckians, regardless of their race, ethnicity, gender, religion, ability, or sexual orientation. Through the Chamber's efforts, with full support of our business, education, community leaders, the Kentucky Chamber strives to create a more equitable commonwealth where all can grow and thrive. Now, I want you to see that, right? They want a full participation of all Kentuckians, regardless of their race, gender, ethnicity. So you might wonder why somebody like that on their website would have a Kentucky minority-owned business database. Because, you know, nothing says that they care about everybody being treated equally, that everybody should have equal access and opportunity in the business environment, like picking who you do business with based upon the skin color of the owner. You know, nothing says we're not racist, like only doing business with someone because of their color of their skin. You know, nothing says that, right? Generally speaking, you're probably a pretty cruddy person if you're somebody who says, I need to hire somebody to do business with. Let's first look at the skin color of the owner. That kind of sounds like you're a racist, doesn't it? But yet that's what the chamber pushes forward. But on top of their very, very liberal ideas, we can just look at their key investors in issues and see exactly why they're a problem. We can look at Pretty much every single hospital, Churchill Downs, SK Blue Oval, right? All these companies that are greatly, greatly profiting off government enforced monopolies and handouts that are costing you, the taxpayer, you, the consumer, money right out of your pocket. And nothing becomes more obvious than we look at how they handled gray machines last year. So we'll be going over that, how the chamber just shows their clear bias, not towards free markets, not towards even helping the small business owner, but only caring about giant corporations making more money, protecting their monopolies while harming you, the little guy. We'll talk about that after this short break. You're listening to The Andrew Cooperator Show, your source for Kentucky politics. And you're back with The Andrew Cooperator Show. For the break, I was going over just why we shouldn't trust the Kentucky Chamber of Commerce's endorsements, why any candidate that receives their endorsement should deserve extra scrutiny from you. I'm not going to say every single person they endorse was necessarily the most awful, bad, horrible, but I do think if you see an endorsement from the Kentucky Chamber of Commerce for the person you're walking in to vote for, maybe you need to double check just what you're doing. And I went over how the Kentucky Chamber of Commerce is clearly a liberal organization with their values, but more importantly, what they support is the destruction of the free market. They support the destruction of the little guy, of you and me, small business owners, or even the consumer. And instead, they serve the corporations. They serve at their behest. They push for and forward ideas that line their pockets by taking it out of yours. And we see no greater example of this than the fight over gray machines. Now, for those of you unaware what gray machines were slash are, is as the term implies, they're not exactly black or white, they're gray. So it's illegal in Kentucky for people to gamble on non-skilled games. But it is legal in Kentucky, or was at least legal, for people to gamble on something called skilled games, because it's not gambling, it's a skill. So you're just winning money at a action. And so these gray machines came out that were quote unquote called skilled games that do have quite a bit of chance to it, right? I mean, it is basically gambling, but it works a loophole in the law, hence why they're called gray machines. And those went up. And maybe you saw them in your local bars or your gas stations, and they're basically just little slot machine, not little, but slot machine machines you saw in these places. And regardless of how you feel about gambling, you cannot believe two things at the same time unless you're just in league, in hawk, being paid by the horse gambling industry, the horse tracks in this case. Because if you think gambling's wrong, then you should not be for sports betting. You should not be for gray machines. You should not be for betting on the ponies at all. You should be not for any of these HHR machines. You should be against all of it. If you think that the government shouldn't allow gambling, that's what you should be against. And if you are for gambling, if you think government has no role in regulating, or not necessarily regulating, but has no business stopping people from gambling. And keep in mind, too, It is always has been legal in Kentucky for you to gamble. It's just illegal for a business to make a profit off of it. Like if you want to sit down with your buddies around the house and play a game of poker, that's never been illegal. It's illegal, though, for a business to now host and make a profit off you and your buddy sitting down and making money off a little gambling going on between you all at a card table, and then they're raking a profit. That's the part that's illegal. So it's not illegal to gamble. It's illegal for a business to make a profit off of it. And so if you believe government shouldn't be denying that, then there's no way, if that's your principle, you could say that the government should ban gray machines while at the same time keeping HHR and B4 sports betting. Because there's no principle there. There's no governmental belief there. There's literally nothing for us to debate. You literally are just somebody who's bought off. That's all you are. You're just somebody who's convoluted some sort of idea together to justify the idea that the horse tracks deserve to have the government-enforced monopoly on gambling in the state for XYZ reasons, and it's got nothing to do with actual beliefs on gambling. And so you'd say that it's pretty unbelievable that anybody would have such a rank and obvious belief on gambling that is so clearly informed by who's giving them the most money. But that is exactly the belief the Chamber of Commerce has. In fact, this letter from February 8th, 2023, was wrote to the members of the Kentucky General Assembly. It says this, it says, "The Kentucky Chamber of Commerce encourages you to pass legislation banning gray machine gambling in the Commonwealth, often referred to as skill games. These unauthorized gambling machines are quickly proliferating throughout Kentucky, threatening education funding via the Kentucky Lottery and harming our signature equine industry, which the General Assembly has worked hard to protect and grow. As you know, thousands of gray machines without government authorization or oversight have set up shop throughout Kentucky with no consequence. There is no doubt that thousands more are on the way unless the General Assembly takes action to ban these machines this year. Unlike other forms of legalized gaming, including the Kentucky Lottery, charitable gaming, and historic horse racing, gray machine gambling is unregulated, unmonitored, untaxed, and does not provide the same benefits to the people of Kentucky." So you'd say, okay, well, why wouldn't you then just be for regulating gray machines and pulling the same amount of tax revenues as you do off them, as you do the HHR casinos, as you do horse betting, as you do now sports betting? Why don't you just set that up and do that? In fact, the gray machines had proposals they put forward to do exactly that, for them to pay a tax, just like all the other forms of legal gambling does. But the chamber continues here, "Nor would it do so." So they're saying that it wouldn't benefit the people of Kentucky under the proposals being shopped around by gray machine operators. "We know that in states like Virginia, gray machines have directly impacted not only the lottery, but also the equine industry, a risk we cannot take here in the horse capital of the world." And that's exactly it. Now, of course, when you look on the Kentucky Chamber of Commerce's website and you look at their key investors, you'll see Churchill Downs, you'll see other interests in the horse industry being their key investors. And that's why they have this belief and this push. It's not because of a conservative principle. It's not because they have a problem with gambling as a principle. It's because they're being paid to protect the gaming for the people and gambling for those who are currently allowed to do it. And that government-controlled monopoly must continue, which is why the chamber wanted to ban gray machines, successful, and at the same time legalize sports betting. They were also successful in that because they have no problem with gambling. They just need to make sure those who are paying them their VIG are the ones who are legal. And the ones unwilling to pay the chamber their protection racket fee within the government, well, they don't get to see the light of day. That's what they cared about. That was their principle. And that's why anybody who's being endorsed by this incredibly corrupt organization that doesn't care, I mean, you know, gray machines, objectively speaking, hurt small business owners because they were making big profits off of them, the gas stations and the bars, hurt small business owners because they were concerned that the big corporations like Churchill Downs will be the with by the way, out-of-state ownership interests might be hurt by those who own businesses in Kentucky making a profit. They hate you. That's clear. They hate small businesses. That's clear. They want to take away your options, your choices, your ability to freely live in Kentucky if it threatens the bottom line of the corporations that pay them their fees. That's why. Anybody supported by the chamber, a clearly liberal organization that just wants to use the powers of government in corrupt ways, you should look at very carefully, because that means they're willing to do the bidding of the chamber. You should be very careful. Very, very careful. Well, as I mentioned at the top, Daniel Cameron has a new PAC he's rolled out here specifically to support Kentucky candidates, he says. So not nationwide candidates, but specifically he says to support candidates within Kentucky. And the Herald Leader wrote an article about this, and I wanted to go through it, but we are running out of time. So I'm going to have to save the discussion on his pack for probably Monday. But I do think it's incredibly important because it does indicate what he thinks his political future is. And the timing is interesting because, as we know, Mitch McConnell's Senate seat, 2026, 2 years, will be up, and it should be open because there's no way he's running for re-election again. He's just too old. And he should really, I mean, quit now. But anyways, so that seat will be open. It'll be interesting to see who runs for it. Maybe Daniel Cameron's looking at it now. We can see that based upon this behavior. Or maybe he's eyeing up that governor's office here in 3 years. So we'll be talking about that after this weekend here. We'll talk about it on Monday. I hope you all have a great weekend. Remember, if you want to reach out to the show, head over to theandrewshow.com. You can check out old shows there too. Anyways, we'll be seeing you Monday.